Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, who does not have an intro prepared.
Oh, no.
I'm joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are just now learning that TF Wiki has been down for days. I go on vacation for a week, and everything falls apart. We are watching Desertion of the Dinobots, Part 1, Episode 19 of Season 2. Hopefully, TF Wiki will be up for Part 2, and I'll let you know when the episode aired and other fun stuff like that. Written by Earl Kress, I know that much, and airing sometime in the fall of 1985, this is Desertion of the Dinobots, Part 1. Hey kids, it's the three of us again, where we're doing another two-parter.
Yay!
And what is that two-parter?
This one is Desertion of the Dinobots.
It sounds so quiet without my headphones on.
So let's get into it. We start with a jet that looks surprisingly similar to a toy that I had. Not from Transformers, but from Starcom. Does anybody remember Starcom?
Me.
We have them in the basement.
It's a double cockpitted jet. Which I'm not sure what point that serves, but it always looked cool to me. I love that toy.
Also, there is a Decepticon Target Master, Slugslayer. He was a twin cone jet.
Oh, okay. So this thing is just flying around like crazy, and it's being controlled by another friend of the Autobots, Professor Green, and he's flying it via remote control. And they're just watching him fly it around. They call it the Ultra Plane.
Oh, how fun.
Which we'll soon forget about through the rest of the story.
It serves no purpose.
Really nothing at all.
Usually that is the MacGuffin, like introduced at the start of the episode.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's quickly forgotten about. Because how can we think about the Ultra Plane when we see one of the weirdest sights? It's Soundwave and Blaster hanging out in the back of Ironhide. Apparently, they don't know that he's in there. I don't know why he's in there.
How stupid are the Autobots? No offense, Autobots, but...
It's just a weird way to start.
That's very stupid. I'm sorry.
And then Soundwave ejects Ravage, but when Blaster recognizes it's Ravage, grabs him by the tail, and Soundwave jumps out, and then like Blaster and Ravage just start rolling around in the back of Ironhide.
And then Ironhide's just like, whoa, 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 what's going on?
Blaster,
what's going
on? That means Blaster's just a bit bigger than a human.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the proportions are really weird if we're thinking about that. But the Decepticons are watching from the hill, and they seem to really... Well, it's like they want the Ultra Plane, but they also want to blow it up. And instead of just them shooting it from the cliff... Starscream transforms and flies to place a bomb on it and makes it explode.
That is, as Shockwave would say, illogical.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Because they just see him anyway.
Right, yeah, yeah. The Ultra Plane explodes, which kind of draws the Autobots away from the base. Maybe that's what they wanted to do, because it was far enough away that the Autobots go to investigate, and meanwhile, the Decepticons attack the science base, the science facility. But they're looking for the plans to the Ultra Plane, which maybe they could have just stolen it and studied it.
They're good at that.
Yeah.
I'm good at studying.
Again, very weird motives with the Decepticons. They attack the facility. The Autobots show back up.
Also, hold on. There was a scientist who is a woman wearing a very... cool blue shirt. I just thought I could.
Oh, she's wearing a suit and tie. Yeah, she's with a lab coat.
She's wearing a dark blue suit, a red tie, and a white lab coat, and I think she looks awesome.
Yeah, and like most characters like that, we'll never see her again.
No,
unfortunately.
Like that one person,
the blue-haired archaeologist.
She looks so cool, and then we never see her again.
A Decepticon throws down another scientist human, and they survive.
Yeah, scientists somehow are really tough in this universe.
They would be the complete opposite, though.
But that is, the Decepticons are trying to steal the plans. The Autobots show back up. Mirage tries to take Megatron's gun while invisible. And
Blaster starts dancing to the music that Jazz plays.
Jazz plays the music we all know, and Blaster starts dancing to it. And then we see Megatron kind of like wave all the Decepticons off, but it's a Hound hologram.
Not gonna lie, I was fooled. That hologram really worked.
I thought it was a weird edit at first, and then I was fooled. I would have flew off with him too.
Wait, what?
It was Megatron waving at outside, and that drew.
Okay, I didn't understand that. Like, I see him waving, and then they follow him, and then Megatron's still there. I'm like, wait a minute.
That was Hound's hologram that made Soundwave and Starscream follow him,
and
then only Megatron was left in the facility. And then Optimus kicks him through a wall, and then Megatron takes off.
Okay, that makes so much more sense. Thank you.
It was weird from an editing perspective, but. Watching it again, it's like, okay, I get it.
But you know what else is weird? Bumblebee at a carnival.
So many transitions, Emmett.
Yeah, we go to an amusement park, and we see Bumblebee, Spike, and Carly. Carly, who we have not seen since the Immobilizer. So, yeah, they're riding sort of like a teacup ride.
Which aren't very fun, so I don't know why they're excited.
Well, but then Carly turns off Bumblebee's equilibrium circuit.
Without consent.
Yes, exactly. And then he just laughs for a very, very long time.
Whoa.
There's no time to stay at the amusement park because then they go to the airport to pick up Sparkplug.
Where was he?
We have no idea what he was doing. It's the first time we've ever seen him wearing clothes other than his traditional workman's outfit.
He's
also wearing a blue suit. This is the episode of blue suits. That or, I don't know, maybe he's worked up into the corporate sector. I don't know, maybe he's not working on the oil rig, but he's helping design them or something.
Maybe he's the manager now.
Right, yeah.
So he's working on an oil rig.
Yes.
Whether he's designing it or not.
Sure.
Yes. Also, that hangar, is it called?
Yeah.
Just has hangar on it in bold letters, all capitals, so you know what it is.
Yeah, the Decepticons set up a base at the airport. In a not too conspicuous hangar, which they label hangar in giant white letters.
When the other ones don't have it, and then Bumblebee and the others are just like, let's go check that out. Oh, hi. Yeah.
Of course it's of course it's just a normal hangar. Why else would it have this on it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, come on. Would you put restaurant on a restaurant?
Only in Seinfeld. But, so Bumblebee and Spike notice the Decepticons going in the hangar. They call for help, and Optimus is like, sorry, we're too busy repairing the science facility.
We're too far away from the airport. There's just a Wheeljack.
Wheeljack is too busy, so he calls out the Dinobots, which apparently they still just keep in a closet.
Poor guys. There's no room.
No wonder they're cranky all the time. Wheeljack gets the Dinobots to agree to go attack the hangar. Quotes, and go see what's going on with the Decepticons. And Bumblebee and the Dinobots are hiding behind a jet. And Bumblebee's like, they're over there in that hangar that says hangar.
Who's to say it's not a Decepticon base?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Spike's their translator.
But then the Dinobots, they barge right in through the hangar. They melt Starscream's gun. Blitzwing attacks Bumblebee, almost shoots him right in the face.
Just kicks Blitzwing.
Sludge kicks Blitzwing.
Real GoBots action.
Rumble flies into Megatron, which destroys the computer. And then Swoop flies over and drops bombs on the hangar. And that's the end of that.
It's chaos.
And there are no police officers here? Like, really, whenever there's a fight in a public area, there are no...
There's no security or any security.
They're just letting it happen. We'll put out the fire later. Actually, no, we have two Autobots for that.
Right.
They can take care of it.
And then one of the Dinobots throws Megatron right into the airport terminal, like right next to Spike and Carly and Sparkplug, but they don't seem to mind with this giant robot just crashing through. Yeah, so Megatron notices that they're vulnerable in their robot modes, and then he fires at the tanker truck behind them, and that explodes quite dramatically, blows up four jets, makes the Dinobots fly, and then we go to commercial one. coming back from the commercial, the Dinobots fall out of the sky and the Decepticons just kind of take off. And then we get Hoist, Red Alert, who's already panicking, and Yay! Inferno. They put out the fire on the jet and then they...
Foam.
Yeah, and then Hoist loads up the Dinobots into the jet and then we see them taking off.
The one that exploded or...
The Dinobot bus.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, the
all
top...
All aboard the dinosaur train.
The top of the jet is blown off, so I guess it's a perfect ambulance, I guess, to put the Dinobots in. And they just...
It just keeps rolling like it does on the runway. Like, how...
But Hoist tows it.
Wait, he does?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Oh, I didn't notice that. Okay, so... Yeah, Hoist tows it, and then we assume that they tow it all the way from the airport to the Ark, because now the Dinobots are back.
And it's nighttime.
Ratchet and all the smart guys are working on them.
It took them 6 hours.
And then we get this really weird flashback, because like they're rebuilding the Autobots, and they're like, I wish we had all the parts we had on Cybertron. And then Mirage Cybertron is like, oh, Cybertron, I remember. And it's this really quick flashback, and we see this kind of cool character who sort of looks like Hot Rod in a way.
He looks like Hot Rod mixed with an Insecticon.
Kind of. And he transforms into sort of Bumblebees, more than meets the eye mode, but then like it flies UFO off. It's kind of purple. Never explained again. Never back to that.
It's like those balls that you find at the Henry Ford. Just throw them up and they flip colors.
Yes, I love those.
And then we get to one of my favorite parts where the Autobots are rebuilding stuff that got wrecked in the previous scene.
I'm an artist.
This is Ironhide, Power Glide, and Grapple. Yeah. Ironhide's putting down the mortar, and then Power Glide's just zipping back and forth and dropping the bricks in perfect lineup.
That doesn't seem practical.
I think they're just break in half.
Well, it's doing pretty good. They haven't built. They have the hangar, the new
block.
Really, actually,
it's on the runway.
I don't know what it is. It's not a hangar. It doesn't have any doors. It's just four brick walls. And
it's on the runway?
It's on the runway. And then Grapple goes to put the roof on, and he botches it, and the whole thing comes crumbling down.
I don't know how he did that, because it looked pretty gentle, and he was very sad about that.
I think this is leading up to kind of the big problem of this episode.
Yeah.
Because then we flash to the Decepticons flying over the desert, and then Soundwave makes Ravage pop out for no reason. And then they all start doing very goofy things. They fall out of the air. Rumble just starts punching Megatron.
Ow. Please. Stop. Ow.
Like, I can't stop myself. Megatron just bats him away.
Whack!
So then we cut back to the Ark, and the Dinobots are all fixed up after their battle at the airport. They seem to be ready to go.
Well, boys, we did it.
Ratchet, Wheeljack, and Hoist?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good team. And Optimus is ordering the Dinobots to go. Where are they going? The important thing is that they disagree.
They don't.
Grimlock is like, we don't take orders from nobody.
Which they say every episode they're in. They're just like, we don't take order from you.
Yeah.
We be on our own. And then at the end of the episode, they're just like, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll take order from you until a point. But that's at the end of the episode.
Yeah. So they just leave the Ark. They don't want to fight. They don't want to do anything. And then we cut to the Decepticons, who they think that they had some bad energy on somewhere. So they're just at an electrical power plant, just filling up cubes.
That's Pepto-Bismol energy on right there.
Yeah. The Autobots know exactly where they are. They show up. Yeah, and then some weird stuff starts happening. Jazz can't transform. Ironhide kicks him.
Thanks, I think.
He turns into a frog for a second, and then he's okay.
Yeah. And then Megatron goes, it's the other. It's the old blah, 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 blah. He can't speak, which then Starscream immediately assumes command because Megatron has a sore throat.
Well, he has a sore throat today. I'm new leader.
And then everyone starts acting like dopes. Starscream just flies into the Energon cubes. Ironhide freezes himself. Mirage thinks he turns invisible, but doesn't.
He just turns dimmer.
How'd he turn?
Mostly blue. Ravage attacks Optimus, but then just transforms back into a cassette. And Optimus just drops him into an oil drum.
I think it would be best if we picked him up and just chucked him across the world.
Jazz tries to do his famous music, but then nothing's happening. Blitzwing falls into a into a crack in the ground. Something weird's really going on here. And then Megatron knocks over an electrical tower, transforms into a gun. Then we go to commercial 2 with Megatron saying, "I never miss." And his gun's just completely colored gray. It's like they just forgot to do any details on that gun. So he says he never misses, but then, of course, he misses. Something weird is going on with the Autobots and the Decepticons. The Decepticons try to flee, but they just... Megatron does kind of a weird ballet move and can't fly. So both parties just... I think they just agree to stop fighting and
Jazz's
go back
car
and kind of figure it out. Yeah.
Okay, can we just go home now?
Optimus rolls in and just kind of sits down on the floor like a baby. So then our good buddy Perceptor, who's stuck in his microscope mode, he talks about how there's an essential element in all Cybertronian Transformers, Autobot and Decepticon, an element named Cybertronium.
You mean plot deviceonium?
Yes. A better plot device than the Ultra Plane. Remember that? That element is slowly decaying within the Autobots and Decepticons, and that's causing them to act all wacky where they can't fly. We see Jazz, a lot of kind of body horror going on here. Jazz is half transformed. He just has a...
Oh, he just knows that he's horrifying.
he's half car, half robot. Power Glide, his head came off. He's holding his own head. The only way to get back to Cybertron, to get that element, is to go to the Decepticon space bridge, which, again, we haven't really heard about in a long time, have we? It's kind of more been a season 1 thing.
A very long time. There's like 2 episodes in season 1, probably part 1 and part 2 of whatever, that they use the space bridge over and over and over again.
And then nothing for a long time.
Yes.
So Sparkplug, he drives Carly's car out to the Dinobots, and they try to plead to them to... they notice that there's an incoming shipment of the Cybertronium on the space bridge.
Oh, cool.
So they're trying to talk the Dinobots into kind of hijacking it.
Also, the Dinobots are absolutely massive compared to them.
Yeah, they're very huge in the scene, to the point where Grimlock is so big that his foot almost smashes the car, but Swoop saves him. So they're kind of flying, very big. They're flying in Swoop's talons, and they're like, the wind's blowing through Spike's hair, and he's trying to be like, "Can you please help us?"
He's sweating.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I guess that's how big the Dinobots are suddenly.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the space bridge where the Constructicons are there, and they're kind of hauling out the Cybertronium, and then Grimlock
like
jumps
money.
Down off the cliff, and then they start fighting.
Devastator.
Yeah, right. They start turning into Devastator, but what's Scavenger doing? Scavenger's not joining the crowd. He's still scooping the Cybertronium.
He's got a job to do.
And then Devastator is just like, my arm.
Yeah, he's missing his right arm. Right. And so with Devastator down one arm, the Dinobots run into the space bridge. Space bridge activates, and the Dinobots, it's kind of cutely flying
it's
up
adorable.
Into the...
They peace out.
It's yeah. adorable when they fly up there. I just want to watch it over and over again. It's so cute.
And they fly through some like Steve Ditko, Doctor Strange background.
Without
very,
the
very
Cybertron.
Trippy.
It does look like
I mean, the Cybertronium. Strange. Without the Cybertronium, then how'd they get that there if it doesn't transport? But, okay. I have something to point out.
Sure.
So in the scene where they're panning down on Cybertron,
mm-hmm.
if you could go to that scene. Oh, there.
Mm-hmm.
I need a time code.
20 minutes and 2 seconds. We're almost done with this episode.
At 20 minutes and 2 seconds, you can see a building that looks like Cookie Monster.
Oh.
It looks like you're welcome, Cookie Monster's everyone. Back.
He's white.
One tear on the side of the building looks like his mouth.
You're welcome, everyone.
See, every time I look at it, I notice the honeycomb building kind of below it and to the left.
And then I noticed Cookie Monster at first.
I saw the hive, and then I like, wait, that looks like Cookie Monster.
Maybe this is a Sesame Street Mech Builders crossover.
No!
That didn't exist.
So then the Dinobots, I love the way that the space bridge is set up where Shockwave is always in this control room. And he,
can I get one break?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then like something's coming through and he just has to turn around and he has no idea what's coming through. You think...
And...
You think with a bridge that can literally bridge space and time, he would kind of know what's coming. So the Dinobots just crash through Shockwave's headquarters and they just knock him over.
Dino zoom.
Yeah. Sparkplug pulls up Teletran 1 and Grimlock, who looks really chunky in this shot. I think it's the angle that they're trying to draw him on Teletran 1. But he just kind of pieces out. He's like, we're staying on Cybertron. We're not coming back. So now they weren't even supposed to go to Cybertron, right? They're just supposed to
grab the shipment.
Yeah. But then they go to Cybertron without it. So the Autobots are still slowly dying.
And then Sparkplug's just like, what? Come on, man.
Yeah. And they're so weak that they know that Optimus would tell them that it's too risky for the humans to go to Cybertron.
And then he says it's too risky.
Yeah, he's like, it's too risky. And he falls over like,
that sucks. Anyway,
yeah.
He's okay. He'll be fine.
So then Carly gets in her awesome car. Oh, but first, Sparkplug gives Spike this really weird and dumb thumb microphone.
It looks like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
He said it would be really dumb talking into his thumb.
It is.
It's kind of stupid talking into my thumb.
It's just a really weird idea, I think. But then Carly goes all Fast and Furious and is just zooming around Devastator's legs. And then she just like flies her car into the space bridge. Yeah, she...
That's not how things work.
Yeah, so this is the second time that the Decepticons let some foreign matter get through to the space bridge. And this time Shockwave turns around.
And he's ready with himself.
Shockwave is holding a smaller Shockwave, which is really bizarre. And
I don't understand.
He blasts at the door and explodes.
To be continued.
To be continued. Sure? And that's the end of part one. We will see you next week for part two of Desertion of the Dinobots. See you later, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.